WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to WVUA 90.7 FM Tuscaloosa Student Section Fantasy Sports. My name is Jamie Martinez, and I'm joined by Jake Riker and Lincoln Burkholder. On today's episode, we're back to our original format, getting you ready for Week 2 of Fantasy Football. We're going to kick it off with our Week 1 recap, including the top performers, biggest surprises, and biggest busts. Then we're going to dive into our top players and predictions for Thursday Night Football between the Buffalo Bills and Miami Dolphins. Then we're going to get into our must-starts and must-sits for Week 2. And lastly, everybody's favorite segment, Panic or Pause. Brought some memories back with that one. So let's get right into it with our top performers from Week 1 of Fantasy Football. We're back, baby. This is awesome.
Am I going first?
You got it.
Oh, let's go. My first Week 1 top performer is a guy that is on now a new team. Same division, a little rivalry going on, but
you're going to steal it. I gave this guy so much prep.
Okay.
You're good. You already did the intro.
Okay. Well, I can just, like, throw you an alley-oop. You got it good. If you want.
You're good.
Okay, well, I'm going with Saquon Barkley.
He should be the first person mentioned.
He absolutely should. I mean, I didn't get to watch the game that Friday night, but from what I heard and all the highlights that I saw, Saquon was a very bright spot in that Philly offense that struggled. Mm. They won the game.
Quite bright.
Huh?
Quite bright.
Yeah. They won the game. They put up, 31 points, yeah. Which is, how did Philly struggle? But Hurts didn't look great. But Saquon looked phenomenal. Finished with 33.2 in PPR leagues, 109 yards, and 3 total touchdowns. So, I mean, you can't ask more from a guy that you're getting around pick 10, pick 11 this
Baller.
Year in drafts. I mean, that's amazing production.
What are the odds he scores more touchdowns than the New York Giants this year?
That's not that crazy to say. He's already on a hot start.
I'd like to see it.
It's 3-0. The Giants don't have a touchdown.
He's on a hot start.
All right, so I'm next up. I'm going to go to a guy. I wasn't expecting him to do this, but he did. Primetime football. It's Cooper Kupp. Came into the week. Puka Nacua was playing, so looking for that same role that we saw towards the end of last year, which was nothing too crazy, nothing to live to the Cooper Kupp standards of previous years, but this week certainly did. 21 targets.
Jeez.
He caught 14 passes for 110 yards and a touchdown. He also had 2 carries. He was the entire offense. I watched that game. There was, Colby Parkinson had, 5 catches. Kyron Williams was, meh. They didn't really run the ball out too much. It was literally just Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
Because I watched the game
They
as
came
well.
Back on the shoulders of Cooper Kupp.
It was insane.
They did end up losing. Right?
I couldn't believe they did lose in overtime. Yeah. That was a great game.
I was getting 2021 flashbacks with that Cooper Kupp, dude.
But I couldn't believe.
Wow. He was great.
On the note of Kyron Williams, he had 18 carries, mm-hmm. and it did not feel like that.
It did not.
I thought he had 6 in Cooper Kupp. I played against Kupp in one of my leagues, and that was tough, but.
Speaking of Cooper Kupp, I just picked him up in our four-man radio show league.
Oh, we'll get to our little recap of that here in a little bit. But I'm going to dive into my top performer this week. And this could have been a biggest surprise as well. And it's the wide receiver 1 in fantasy football right now. And he goes by the name of Jaden Reed of the Green Bay Packers. He had quite the unexpected game against the Philadelphia Eagles, who some people think is a good secondary, others think it's horrible. But nonetheless, he balled out. What did he have? He had 33.1 fantasy points in week 1, putting up 4 catches on 6 targets for 138 yards and a tutty. Every catch this dude had, he was running for it. And he was getting big-time yards, chunk yardage for Jaden Reed. Sucks that he probably won't continue this now that Jordan Love went down with that injury. Believe he went on the IR, and Malik Willis is not going to fulfill that for Jaden Reed or the Green Bay Packer receivers. So maybe it's a week 1 fluke. Who knows? But I believe in Jaden Reed. He was a beast this week, and the wide receiver 1 as it stands right now.
I didn't even realize he was wide receiver 1.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
I guess I'll just hop into my second top performer of the week. A little bit of bias, but I'm going on the train with Jamie of picking the players that are number 1 at the position. So I'm going to go with the tight end 1 after week 1, Isaiah Likely. I'll be honest, I loved Likely coming into the season. The Ravens loved Likely. They preached and praised him all camp long, but I wasn't expecting what he did on Thursday night. 9 for 111 yards and found the end zone. Finished with 26.1 fantasy points in PPR leagues, and he was about a couple centimeters away from scoring 33 points in fantasy if he got that last touchdown.
Crazy.
Now, kind of like Jamie said with Reed, I don't know if Likely's going to continue that production because obviously Mark Andrews still has a great contract and is a great tight end. Mm-hmm. But I do see Likely being a consistent tight end. I know we're not doing waiver wire things this time, but if Likely's out there, I would pick him up just to stash. I mean, the tight end position is so weak. Might as well take a risk on him.
Yeah, are we in? Is this biggest surprises or top performers?
Top performers.
All
right. I skipped over QB1, but.
Yeah, we'll go. That's where I'm going right now. I have him in my dynasty league that I'm in. It's Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills.
Baller.
A couple of minutes ago, I said Cooper Kupp was the entire Rams offense. Josh Allen is the Buffalo Bills. Yeah. Offense, defense, special teams. Josh Allen is the Buffalo Bills. He literally dragged them to a win. Like, nobody else was really doing anything. Dalton Kincaid did nothing. James Cook didn't do all too much. He did a decent amount, but apart from that, it was really just a one-man show. 232 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. He had 9 carries for 39 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns, so he had 31.18 fantasy points. He is QB1 once again.
I'm going to move on to another Jaden, not a receiver, but a quarterback, and that is Commander's third overall pick, Jaden Daniels. A debut that was to be remembered, but, I mean, it was a little iffy. He went 17 for 24 for 184 yards, no passing touchdowns. However, 16 attempts on the ground for 88 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns is what led him to 28.16 fantasy points. The 88 yards rushing is most for a rookie quarterback in their debut all time. So that's a pretty big deal for Jaden Daniels. Hopefully he can continue that in the weeks going forward, because if he wants to keep putting up 28 fantasy points a game, we got a real baller on our hands. So once he can clean up that passing and keep up that rushing ability, he's a beast. So Jaden Daniels.
Jamie just ripped out my week one biggest surprise. So
I'm so sorry.
Are we moving to biggest surprises?
We can go biggest bust or biggest surprises. Whatever your heart desires, Jake.
Biggest surprises. That's what I got second on my list.
That's what I got second on my list.
So Jamie just kind of talked about Jaden Daniels. There's not much more to say about him. I don't know how much of a surprise it was. I think it was just a surprise that he got near 30 points week one. I will say the one thing I will say about Jaden Daniels to touch on is he didn't turn the ball over, which is exactly what a team wants to see out of their rookie quarterback. I mean, if you don't turn the ball over, you're going to put your team in great chances to win. Unfortunately, they didn't win, but I think the future could be bright in Washington. I can't believe I just said that, but it could be. So I'll go to my second biggest surprise, and that's Jameson Williams for the Detroit Lions.
Roll Tide.
I mean, there's been a lot of speculation about, is this his year? There's been a lot of talk about him. In week one, he balled out. It's as simple as that. 5 catches for 121 yards and found the end zone, 24.4 fantasy points and PPR league setups. That's his first 100-yard game of his career. He's been battling injury, suspension, all that kind of stuff, but he's on the field, and Jambo was a very bright spot in that Detroit offense. And I like him for the rest of the year, to be honest with you, in fantasy leagues.
9 targets is a lot of targets.
That is a lot of targets.
All right, so I'll go to my guy. I feel like I do this to myself every single year now. He gets injured in week two every single season. I can pray, hope and pray that he doesn't get injured this year. I'm talking about J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah.
10 carries, 135 yards. That's 13.5 yards per carry if anyone's counting. He had a touchdown. He also had 3 catches. They only went for 4 yards, but if it's PPR, that's 3 points. So 22.9 on the week was absolutely fantastic. Definitely the RB1 in Jim Harbaugh's Chargers system. He's a guy who could have been on your waiver wire if you're in like a 8-man league, so definitely go get him if he's available. But yeah, there's not much more to say. Just kind of hope he stays healthy. He was fantastic week one. So
let's hope so, because that Harbaugh offense, he's going to eat. My big surprise, I got to pick a homeboy, somebody from the Bay Area, somebody that started, we originally thought, kind of last second. But apparently, he was set to start on Friday, but we didn't know it. And that's Jordan Mason of the San Francisco 49ers. When I saw that he was going to start, I didn't expect for him to get the volume that he did. 28 carries on the ground for 147 yards and a touchdown, as well as one reception on one target for 5 yards for a grand total of 22.2 points. Man, he dominated that Jets defense that is extremely, extremely good. That secondary is so well. And the 49ers really pivoted away from that pass to give the ball to Jordan Mason. And did he take his opportunity and run with it? Because we got a little baby Marshawn Lynch on our hands. So if he's somehow still on waivers, you got to go get Jordan Mason. I doubt it by now because he really made a name for himself on national TV. So Jordan Mason, my biggest surprise this week.
I'll go to my second biggest surprise. There was two guys I was debating on talking about, and I'm going to go with a wide receiver over on the New York Jets, and that's Alan Lazard.
Crazy.
I mean, in a Monday night game that they lost pretty significantly to the Niners, and he dropped 26.9, so almost 27 fantasy points. He was projected 4.7, which is kind of crazy. Rodgers gave him 9 targets, which is pretty high up there. I mean, that's what J-Mo got. Racked in 6 catches for 89 yards and found the end zone twice. I'd like to see if Lazard can do this again, obviously next week, and stay consistent. I mean, his projections on here are still 7-2-3-3-3, so the fantasy apps aren't very high on him yet. But Rodgers needs a guy, and I'm assuming it's going to be Garrett Wilson. I really hope it is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. I like Lazard, and he had a big surprise this week for me.
All right, my second biggest big surprise is not necessarily, you know, like some guy that you can probably go get on waivers right now, but a huge surprise, it's a kicker. He scored 26 points.
Ridiculous.
Oh, boy.
I feel like if a kicker scores 26 points, I have to talk about it. Jake Moody was 6-for-6 and had 2 extra points as well. He hit 2 50-plus yarders. He is currently the 5th best player in fantasy football.
And he's going to continue to be that.
So, didn't Boswell also drop 26?
Yeah.
Too?
Or no, he's the 5th best player available in our free agency. I'm looking at it incorrectly.
Yeah, but Boswell had 20-plus. Brandon Aubrey had 20-plus.
Yeah, that's
a big week for kickers.
That's definitely my second biggest surprise. You never see a kicker score over 20, really, but a ton of them had 20-plus this week. So Jake Moody had 26, and I feel like I had to talk about it.
Moving on to my second biggest surprise, a quarterback who not really – a lot of people thought was fantasy relevant, but he was definitely relevant this week, and that's Baker Mayfield of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Incredible, incredible game. 289 yards passing with 4 touchdowns, also with 3 attempts for 21 yards on the ground. Racked him up 29.66 fantasy points, enough to be the QB2 at the moment, only sitting behind Josh Allen. Baker had a great game with an 86.2 QBR, 80% completion percentage. He was really balling out, and I'm not sure if he's going to continue that because he did face Washington, who does not have a good secondary, but Baker Mayfield nonetheless, he's a baller, and this week he balled. That's what he does.
He does ball. I mean, I'm not a big Baker guy. I used to not be a big Baker guy, but I like seeing him win. I mean,
it's a good underdog story.
He just keeps getting the job done.
He does. Mm-hmm. Everywhere he goes, it's kind of crazy. I guess we'll hop into week 1 biggest busts. This really pains me because, you know, this is my guy.
Golly, there were some horrible.
I was hoping
horrible,
to start with him.
There were some horrible busts.
Yeah,
this week.
A lot of bad busts, but I don't think it gets much worse than this one. I mean, I don't understand how you draft a receiver with the skill set of this player in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And you target him 3 times in not even a game, like it wasn't even a blowout.
No.
Like, it was a game that they very well could have walked into Buffalo and won that game. And that's Marvin Harrison Jr., if you didn't pick that up yet.
Crazy.
Yeah.
1.4 points. He had 1 catch for 4 yards.
He had a big drop, too.
Like, I don't understand. Like, you're a first-round rookie. You're probably I don't know. He's probably not the best guy on that offense yet, but he could be by the end of the year. He definitely could be.
Yeah.
And then they asked Kyler Murray about, like, not getting more of the ball, and he's like, oh, that's not up to me. I'm like, dude,
kind of.
You're not calling the plays, but you're making the reads. you got to give your number one receiver the ball if you want to win a football game in Buffalo. And they very well could. And I'll stand on the fact that if they gave Marv the ball more in that game, they probably could have beaten Buffalo. Because like Lincoln said, Josh Allen did literally everything for them.
Mm-hmm. I saw something today that said that Marvin Harrison Jr. only reached a top speed of 16.2 miles per hour this week, and that's without the ball in his hands, which was like the worst among all receivers in the NFL this week. So I don't know what it was. He wasn't moving fast. I saw people criticizing his route running abilities, saying that he wasn't getting open and he looked sluggish. I'm not sure what that was all about. So hopefully he can bounce back because, man, 1.4 points is not it for a debut.
No, like –
And the Buffalo secondary, it's not like it's the Jets secondary. It's not like he was going to go against like a Sauce or a PS2.
It was a high-scoring, close game.
Yeah,
crazy. Wilson, he benefited. He played great.
Yeah, Greg Dortch was getting the ball pretty much every third down.
He only had one catch, Michael Wilson. It was just in the end zone.
You couldn't believe it.
Yeah, speaking of getting your best receiver the football to win a game in Buffalo, let's talk about Dalton Kincaid.
He made me sad this week.
Yeah.
if you read any articles on draft sleepers or tight end like sleepers, Dalton Kincaid was the first name on every list. He was in every preseason article. I was high on him. I mean, I'm still pretty high on him, but one catch on two targets for 11 yards is not going to get the job done.
Yeah.
As a tight end one. But again, high scoring game, close game. Buffalo scored a lot of touchdowns. It was just none of them went to Dalton Kincaid, so... Hopefully, going forward, we can see him get more targets and, in turn, more fantasy points. Because 2.1, not going to work.
2.1, oh my
God. Not going to work.
It was bad.
The thing for me, to add to the Kincaid thing, because I was very high on Kincaid, too. Like, I was like, this guy could very easily be tight end one this year. Mm-hmm. Very easily, because the tight end position is just desperately falling apart, as you can see already, after week one of the season.
Tight ends are bad.
But, like, to me, every quarterback needs a guy that they can rely on. They need an unreliable guy that they can always find. And Josh Allen just doesn't have that in the Bills' offense this year. Like, you can't tell me that, like, Shakir is going to be the guy that Josh Allen's going to go to, or Gabe Davis isn't even there anymore. Like, Curtis Samuel didn't get the ball. Like, I feel like Kincaid's got to be that guy, other than James Cook, but, like, in most passing downs. Like, if Josh Allen and the Bills want to continue their playoff runs and try to go for a Super Bowl like they have been, I feel like Kincaid has to be a big part of that offense, unless, like, I'm crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not that much more there.
No, there's not, other than James Cook.
Yeah, I mean.
Nobody else got going?
No.
Just Josh Allen.
I think Khalil Shakir had a decent game.
He did have a pretty good.
I mean, that's really it. It's not like he's competing for crazy targets. And I saw things where he was in the middle of the field getting quadruple covered. So I don't know if the Cardinals had something out for Dalton Kincaid, but, man, it was bad.
Yeah.
So my biggest bust this week goes out to a certain imposter named Among Us St. Brown. He was bad against the Rams.
Horrible.
4.3 points from a perennial top five pick in fantasy football. Three receptions on six targets for a measly 13 yards, no touchdowns, nothing on the rushing side. I'm not sure what happened to Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, it must have been Jameson Williams Day. but Amon-Ra did awful. I don't know. I couldn't even tell you what happened in this game because it was competitive. There was a lot of scoring going on, a lot of passing, and Amon-Ra was just not a benefactor from any of this. So I guarantee you this will be the worst game of his season, and it'll only go up from here. But it's pretty crazy that 4.3 points in a high-scoring game is it for Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah, that was my second biggest bust of week one. I mean, Jamie laid it all down for me, so I'll find a new guy. That's another receiver one, which, and it's very odd that he had a bad game because they were clearly, I mean, they were playing against the Carolina Panthers, but their offense was phenomenal. They dropped 47 points, and that's the Saints receiver, Chris Olave. Two catches for 11 yards. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
End of the stat line.
I told my brother to draft Chris Olave, and literally the day after the games, he texted me calling me an idiot for telling him to draft Chris Olave. And, you know, when you disappoint your brother because of Chris Olave, it makes you really sad.
It's a rough week, yeah.
Chris Olave's out here ruining families.
He ruined a lot of people's week. I mean, mm-hmm. I feel like he's a wide receiver one on a lot of fantasy teams this year. And
he's
I feel like
a third round pick.
Yeah. So, I don't know if they're going to figure it out with Olave. He didn't really figure it out last year, so.
Maybe he's just not built to be a wide receiver one.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Or it's because Alabama's wide receiver
is it time to think about it?
Yeah, maybe the Ohio State receivers are him and Marv need to, like.
Go to the CFL.
I don't know. Dude. Yeah, something.
All right, well, I'll get to my second biggest bust. All right, let's talk about I watched this game because it was the Broncos game. It's not a Bronco because none of them had any expectations. So it's tough to be a bust when you weren't going to score points in the first place. It's DK Metcalf on the other side.
Love that.
It's not a strong Broncos defense. I'll give him a little bit of slack because he was being guarded by Pat Surtain. But not enough slack. Three catches, 29 yards on just four targets. The Seahawks offense wasn't that horrible in this game, especially in the second half. They kind of pulled away. Final score ended up being 26-20, but it was a garbage time touchdown. So he definitely could have gotten involved. There were opportunities for him to get over top. He dropped a couple balls that I saw. So an unfortunate week for DK. I don't hate him going forward, but tough week one performance against for somebody who you're kind of hoping for a boom from.
For sure. And then my next biggest bust, somebody who got a lot of preseason hype, not just fantasy-wise, but in the NFL, and week one did not deliver, along with the rest of his team, and that's Atlanta Falcons receiver Drake London. A lot of hype around this dude, along with the Falcons. Kirk Cousins, though, just did not deliver week one. Not sure what happened. A couple interceptions on his side, and it really negatively affected Drake London, who currently sits as the wide receiver 80. Yeah.
Golly.
3.5 points for Drake London on two receptions for 15 yards, only three targets. So he wasn't really a part of the game plan at all. We saw Bijan Robinson get a ton of carries. Didn't do a ton with it. Didn't score at all, but he did touch the ball a lot. Kyle Pitts finally found the end zone in what feels like the first time in forever. And Drake London did not have any part of that fun. So hopefully he can turn it around soon enough. But yeah, week one, whew, was kind of depressing. Before we go to intermission, do we want to do a quick little week one of our fantasy league?
Sure.
A little recap.
Let's rip it.
So
I lost, so that was awesome.
I beat Zach 181.04 to 97.92.
Close game.
Yeah, not much more needs to be said about that. We just did a job, got business handled.
You know, Jamie beat the brakes out of me. So.
yeah, I'm
just
sorry.
Here to win a championship. That's all I do.
So. I did kind of beat the brakes.
What the heck?
Off
Jamie literally had Marv with 1.4 and Kincaid with 2.1.
Yeah.
And I still lost.
I
still would have lost to me by 31.
Yeah, I had two of the biggest busts of the week. And still managed to beat Jake by 34, unless my
okay. To
is
be
wrong.
Fair, I left McCaffrey in the lineup because I forgot I had him. Puka Nacua went down with 8.2. Mark Andrews just decided to not play football, and I don't know why I kept the Ravens defense in.
Shout out Josh Allen with 31. Shout out Tyree Kill for 26.
Zach
and
only
AJ Brown for 22. But that's about it.
What I've beaten Zach.
Zach only had two guys go over 15 points.
Oh, my gosh. How many points did he score?
97.
What, in a four-man league?
Yeah.
You would have beat him handedly.
I would have beat him in my 12-man league.
I almost beat him by 100.
Oh, my God.
I'm about to beat Lincoln this week. I'm feeling it.
Yeah, good one.
Although in a four-man league.
Good one, buddy.
I have Rashad White, Devontae Smith, and Isaiah Likely in my starting lineup with a four-man league. So
it's probably not it's getting rough in this four-man league right now. And Lincoln picked
it
up Cooper Kupp.
Rough.
So.
Actually, it is
I'm
not
gonna,
rough.
I'm changing out.
I have a 57% chance to win this week.
I'm starting J.K. Dobbins. I just made a switch.
Not going to change
I picked up Jordan Mason, and I'm starting him. But that's really all I did to my lineup.
Saquon.
Oh, I benched
Hall,
Marv.
Jamar Chase.
Hey, it doesn't
Cooper
matter.
Sam Laporta, Joe Mixon, Alvin Kamara.
Everybody
Pat
makes
Mahomes.
The playoffs.
That's true. We're
I
all
could go
0-12,
and I don't care. My team will perform in the playoffs, and I'll win.
That's all that matters.
No, we got business handle over here. Don't worry.
Oh, okay.
He has to cope for Denver right now.
Not
this
true.
Is a Super Bowl.
Lincoln's
a
really
big
four-man fantasy league.
We have a really bright future.
All right, and with that, we're going to be right back after a short intermission with our Thursday night football predictions. We'll see you soon.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to WVUA 90.7 FM, Tuscaloosa Student Section Fantasy Sports. We're back with our Thursday night predictions between the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins. It's going to be a fun little game. We're going to bring you who we think our top fantasy player will be, as well as our score predictions. So let's kick that off with Jake Reichert.
Sweet. Thanks for the intro.
Oh, yeah.
So am I going fantasy performance first?
Yeah.
My biggest performer for tomorrow night's classic AFC East showdown is going to be the wide receiver 2 in Miami, Jalen Waddle. My predicted stat line is 6 catches for 103 yards, and I think he finds the end zone. I liked what Waddle was able to do last week, even with missing a quarter or something with a little concussion scare. But I think he's going to have a big night. I have that gut feeling. I think it's a Waddle game.
I like that.
All right. Let's see. So I'm going to go. It's a Dolphin as well. It's not Jalen Waddle. It's Devon Achane. So Raheem Mostert went down with an injury. It looked like he was out. I have him on one of my teams. It looked like he was out this morning. So I think Devon Achane is going to get a lot of work. I do think Miami can beat Buffalo pretty handedly. If they play up to their potential, I don't think it should be too close of a game. So I feel like they're going to want to salt it away a little bit. Devon Achane is going to get a lot of work. I think he breaks a big one or two off. You know, those big plays that he's known for. I think it's a great game from Devon Achane on primetime.
For my top performer, I was going to go Devon Achane, but I did see he was struggling with injuries this week, and I saw there was a chance he wouldn't play. So just in case that doesn't happen, I went with somebody else because who knows what Jeff Wilson will end up doing if he gets some snaps. But I'm going to go with the Winter Soldier, Joshua Patrick Allen.
Middle name.
Yeah, we're going the whole thing. But I think he's going to go back-to-back and have another great week. Kick it off hard. I'm going to say he goes for 273 passing yards, 55 rushing yards, 3 passing tutties, 1 rushing tutty, and 1 interception because that's what Josh Allen does for a whopping 32.42 points and the top player. It's kind of crazy nobody picked Tyreek Hill because I feel like that was the obvious number one, but I did see that Buffalo plays very well against Tyreek. They only held him to 10 catches and 110 yards last year through 2 games. So I'm going to go with Joshy Boy.
I love it.
I think we go score predictions next.
My score prediction?
Yeah.
I have a great game tomorrow night. There was a bad rap on Thursday night games last year because they were all just horrible. But luckily we have a good one for – I mean, these are two teams that should probably be at the top of the division this year. I mean, the Jets will be up there as well. So this game is very important, even though it's only week 2. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very important, especially for the Dolphins, because it's at home for them. So I got Dolphins winning a nail-biter 27-26.
I like that.
Yeah, see, me, I don't have that much faith in the Bills' defense. They looked pretty, I'll be honest, pretty bad against Arizona this past week, and Arizona's offense doesn't have Tyreek Hill on it, or Devon Achane, or Jalen Waddle, or Tua, for that matter. So it has Marvin Harrison Jr., who had 1 catch. Still upset about that. But, yeah, so I think the Dolphins, I think they'll take care of business at home. I think Buffalo can score some. Like, I don't think they're just going to, like, lay down and die, but I would – picked Miami pretty handedly, 42-24 is my projected final score. I think Miami's going to run it up a little bit.
That would be kind of fun. I picked Josh Allen as my top guy, so you know I'll go with the opposite of y'all. I got the Bills taking this one.
Ooh.
In another solid Thursday night game. Like Jake said, got a bad rap last year. I also have the Dolphins scoring 27, but I have the Bills scoring 34 behind another Josh Allen. Great performance. However, week 3, he's probably going to throw 4 interceptions. And, yeah, because that's what Josh Allen does. So, that's our Thursday night predictions. I think we can dive into our favorite segment ever, Panic or Pause.
Oh, boy.
Who could forget the Tyreek Hill drama from last
and
year.
And I still stand by
no.
what I said.
Nope.
I still stand on it.
Nope. We're panicking on Tyreek Hill now.
Not listening to this again.
They're
not,
taking
I'm not
everything.
Doing this again.
They're taking my words out of context for the new listeners here this year. Yes, you
we're
are.
We're not taking his words out of context. Yes, he said, "I'm going to trade Tyreek Hill because I think Tyreek Hill's trash."
I did not.
He said Odell
trash.
Beckham's better. So let's get it kicked off,
so
Jake.
He was the wide receiver three.
I'm gonna fact check you guys.
Who wants to kick this one off?
I'll start.
All right.
Panic or pause. I got the guy that we talked about quite often this evening, Dalton Kincaid, tight end one question mark for the Buffalo Bills.
I'm gonna pause just for now because, to be fair, all tight ends this week were awful, so. Dalton Kincaid, I think, kind of got a little bad rap going for him right now, but I think he'll recover. Only 2 points this week. There's no chance in a blue moon that happens again, especially against Miami. I think he has to be involved in the game plan if they want to win, especially when their receivers are as mediocre as they are. They got to get that tight end going, and I think Dalton Kincaid, he's going to get it going week two and show why people thought he was the sleeper he was in the preseason. So I'm pausing on Dalton Kincaid for right now.
I would pause as well. I mean, I was super high on him coming into the season. We talked about him when we did our draft just the other week. But, like, it's the same thing we've been saying this whole time. Buffalo doesn't have a lot of weapons on offense. That's the bottom line. They've got Curtis Samuel. I'm not really moved by Curtis Samuel. It's no offense to Curtis Samuel. But Khalil Shakir had a solid game, but he's nothing too crazy. Keon Coleman's a rookie. And then there's James Cook in the backfield. But other than that, it's not a lot. Dalton Kincaid looked great at times last year. He took over as tight end one when Dawson Knox was hurt, and he looked fantastic when he did. And he was a top three tight end in fantasy for those weeks. So I would expect that to come back sometime soon. Definitely a fluke week. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I'm going to go on the pause train with you guys too. Like I kind of touched on earlier, I think the Bills are going to figure out really quick that they're going to need someone for Josh Allen to securely throw the ball to consistently to be that target one. And like Lincoln said, their wide receiver room does not move me either. So I think Kincaid is going to be that guy and has to be that guy for Buffalo if they want to compete for the division and want to compete for the AFC title.
All right, we're going to my guy.
Are we going to panic on anybody after week one?
Yes.
I'll do it. Panic on Tyreek Hill.
We're going to talk about Mark Andrews.
Ooh.
This is a fun one. Obviously, there's the big Isaiah Likely game. That's the main reason that this topic is being brought up. But it's not just that. Mark Andrews blocked an awful lot. He was on the field a lot, but he was blocking an awful lot. And Isaiah Likely was in the game as a pass catcher. They played a lot at the same time, which not super encouraging for Mark Andrews' fantasy hopes. He had 2 catches on 2 targets for 14 yards. That's it. Not exactly tight end one production from a guy that was going probably as the tight end 3 this year, I'd guess, behind Trey McBride in some drafts. Panic or pause?
I'm going to kick this one off, and I'm going to say that this is karma for Jake Reichert because he called George Kittle a left tackle very many times last
He's
year.
He's still a left tackle.
And now look at Mark Andrews, the most – now he's the right tackle. So now we have 2 tackles at tight end sitting around here. So as we know, I have different sized panic and pause buttons. So I'm gonna hit the small panic button because I don't think Isaiah Likely is going to be as involved.
I didn't know we had different sized buttons.
No, it's just me. I said that last year. But okay. The small one is all I'm hitting. I'm not going crazy yet. But Mark Andrews, he's that top dog right now in Baltimore, and I don't think Likely is going to be – involved in that offense as much as he was. I think Andrews has to get involved if they're going to want to win games. So you got to feed the top guy at some point, and I don't think 2 catches for 14 yards is going to do it for Mark Andrews. So I would expect things to ramp up pretty quickly for Madman Mark.
I hate to do it, but I'm going to hit the panic button on my own tight end. After seeing what Likely did in week one against Kansas City in a huge game, and obviously what he did last year when Andrews was hurt. Like Lincoln said, Andrews was out there blocking a ton, which is kind of surprising. I mean, I knew Baltimore was high on Likely going into the season, but I didn't know they were this high. as a fantasy owner, having Mark Andrews on my team, I definitely panicked because I got Likely as soon as I could on the waivers. It's hard to say panic because I do think he's going to start performing a little bit better. Obviously, he's not going to get 2 points a week. But I think Likely is going to continue to produce, and I think it might be an unfortunate year for Mark Andrews' fantasy owners.
Ouch.
I'm going to join Jake. I'm going to panic on Mark Andrews for much of the same reasons. Like, just watching Isaiah Likely on the field, he looked like a better player than Mark Andrews. Lamar Jackson was comfortable throwing to him. They threw him the ball 12 times. He caught 9 of them. He had 111 yards, and he had one touchdown, and he almost had two if he didn't wear a size 14 cleat. But when in big situations, they went to Isaiah Likely, and I don't think that's a fluke. Like, I don't think that's going to stop. That's part of the game plan. They're going to continue to do that. I agree. I don't think Mark Andrews is going to score 2 points a week. I think he'll be better than that, but I don't think this is the – like, I think Isaiah Likely might average more fantasy points per game than Mark Andrews this season. I think that's the reality we're living in.
All right, all right, all right. I'm going to panic or pause. I'm going to kick it off with somebody that kind of made me sad this week in my main league and somebody that hits close to home, and that's Devontae Adams of the Raiders, somebody who we thought was QB-proof, but, I mean, his luck may be running out. Only 10 points this week on, I believe it was 5 or 6 targets. Is it time to panic or is it time to pause on Devontae Adams? He is aging.
I don't know. It's such a hard thing to talk about because I think Devontae Adams can still be a great wide receiver, but the Raiders situation and their quarterback situation is not ideal for Devontae Adams. So I think I'm going to have to panic, to be honest with you. Like, I think he could be a lot of players – or people, fantasy owners, wide receiver one, just like Olave, if they went running back first. And Devontae Adams is not a guy that I would necessarily want as my wide receiver one on fantasy this year, just because of the Raiders situation, and they really can't get anything going in Vegas. So I would start to panic. I would consider maybe trying to trade him away if you can for good value before it gets too late and his value is not needed anywhere.
All right, I'm going to go opposite here. I'm going to pause on Devontae Adams. He only had 6 targets week one, which obviously you're looking for a little bit more, but, you know, not a great, like, game overall from the Raiders offense. I do think it'll get better than that. Gardner Minshew is not – he's not the worst quarterback in football. He can't really move the ball down the field too well. But he does have a tendency to hyper-target the best player on the offense. He did it in Indianapolis. He did it in Philadelphia. And I think he can do it here. And if Devontae Adams gets, obviously only at 6 this week, but if he's getting like 10, if he can get back up to that number around like 9 to 11 targets a game, 9 to 12, like something like that, where he was last year, you could have like 18 to 20 points a game from him, and I'd be happy with that. So I'm going to pause.
I've been kind of off and on about this one because Devontae, he's still one of the top dogs in the NFL, but fantasy-wise, it's a little scary hours. I was shopping around Devontae in trades all week, and
say I'm not against trading him. I'll put that out.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna pause for right now, but it's a very hesitant pause because you're going from a guy who's supposed to be quarterback proof, and he was a top 10 receiver last year with guys like Aiden O'Connell throwing him the ball and Jimmy Garoppolo, and now he gets Gardner Minshew, who's supposed to be better, and from week one it doesn't look like that's necessarily the case. But again, he's one of the best receivers in the NFL. For now, I'd pause, but I'd say if you're getting to around week 4, week 5, and it's the same production, it is absolutely time to panic. So week 1, a little bit of an overreactions, but I think, for now, we're kind of chilling on Tay. So, with that, we're going to go into a quick intermission, is what I'm feeling. We'll be right back with WVUA 90.7 FM Tuscaloosa Student Section Fantasy Sports with our Week 2 Must Starts and Must Sits. See you soon.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to WVUA 90.7 FM, Tuscaloosa Student Section Fantasy Sports. We're back with our Week 2 must-starts and must-sits. Let's get into it with Jake Reichert.
My first Week 2 must-start is a running back in a new system coming off a tough injury. It's J.K. Dobbins. I mean, he looked – I mean, the first half against the Raiders, he had like – 5 yards or something like that, but then ended up racking like 130 rushing yards, which was crazy. Had over 30 fantasy points. So I think he's a must start this week. He's in the system with his old OC that he had in Baltimore with Greg Roman, and they're playing against the Panthers this week. And I've watched enough Panthers over the last year and 1 week, like in week one this year, to know that they probably aren't going to do so hot against really anybody. So I think it's just going to be ground and pound for Dobbins and Gus against the Panthers, specifically J.K. Dobbins. So I think he's got to be – if you have him, I think he's got to be in your lineup this week.
All right, the guy I want to talk about is – it's another running back. It's Brian Robinson Jr. out in Washington. He was fantastic week one. He had 12 carries, 40 yards, and a touchdown. He had 3 catches for 49 yards as well, finished with 17.9 points. Week two, he gets the Giants.
Oh, boy.
Everybody's favorite cupcake matchup, the New York Giants. Not a good rushing defense, not a good passing defense. The linebackers are not good. Washington, I mean, I weirdly expect this to be like a decently high-scoring game because Washington's defense isn't great. But, yeah, Brian Robinson Jr. going to get in on the fun this weekend against the Giants, and if you've got him, he should be in your lineup without a doubt.
For sure. I'm going to go with a wide receiver who hopefully nobody's panicking on yet because I think he has a lot of potential even in the awful situation he's in. And he's a New York Giant, and it's Malik Nabers. 11.6 points last week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hauled in 5 of his 7 targets for 66 yards, no touchdowns. But this week, he gets the Washington Commanders, who, I'll say it, they're barbecue chicken alert because that secondary is abysmal. Emmanuel Forbes weighs all of about 63 pounds. Benjamin St. Just is a favorable matchup. So I think Malik Nabers has everything he needs this week to have that breakout rookie performance that we've really been waiting to see from any of the rookie receivers. It didn't happen week one, so hopefully week two it happens. And I think if it's going to happen, it's got to be Malik Nabers. So I'd put him in your lineup this week.
My second must start for week two is another running back, and it's James Conner. He's going up against the Rams this week. I did watch a good – Red Zone seemed to love to show that Bills-Cardinals game.
Yeah.
He was catching so many passes.
I saw a lot of that game, and, like, every time I looked up, James Conner had the ball in his hand, and he was, I mean, producing. And clearly – nobody else likes to do anything on that Cardinals offense, including Marvin Harrison. I'm just going to throw another shade at him. But I think – and James Conner just got fed. They didn't use a lot of Trey Benson. There was like one full drive where Trey Benson was there, but I think that was really just to give Conner a breather. And the Rams, I looked on Fantasy just now, or a couple minutes ago, they have the 30th ranked run defense. So could be a feast for James Conner again.
All right, my second guy, it's another running back. We're going to talk about Josh Jacobs. It was not fantastic in week one, 16 carries, 84 yards. Didn't get into the end zone. He had 2 catches as well. But, I mean, 12 points is, I mean, I said it before the season, that's kind of his bad week. Josh Jacobs is always going to get a lot of touches. But I think especially now, they're going into a game against the Colts, who just let Joe Mixon run for 159 yards and a touchdown on 30 carries for Houston last week. Josh Jacobs is a better running back than Joe Mixon, and they're currently starting – I'll be honest, I actually don't know who they're starting at quarterback. I think it's Sean Clifford. But
that's crazy.
If it's Sean Clifford, they're going to need a lot of help from the ground game, which is where Josh Jacobs is going to shine. I think it'll be a fantastic week. Packers win or loss, Josh Jacobs is going to get the job done for you in fantasy this week. So definitely put him in your lineup.
I'm going to go with a wide receiver – out of Los Angeles. He's a Ram. With the Puka Nacua injury, I think DeMarcus Robinson in those deeper leagues is somebody you might should consider starting. The Cardinals defense, I want to say, is ranked 29th against wide receiver. No, 25th against wide receivers. And we saw last week the Rams were throwing the ball nonstop. And I think DeMarcus Cousins.
Boogie. If Boogie pulls up and plays receiver for the Rams.
It's getting ridiculous.
It's getting ridiculous. But no, I think DeMarcus Robinson will do solid this week. He saw seven targets, four receptions, and 42 yards for 8.2 points last week. And I think this week, with an increased role in a what should be a high-scoring game with two really good offenses but subpar defenses, this has all the cookings to be a high-scoring game and a good game for DeMarcus Robinson. So run it through your head. I think you should start the guy.
All right, I'm going to move on to my week two must-sits, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Sit him.
My first one is a running back. I'm on a running back train here. Holy moly. It's DeAndre Swift. The Bears offense, I don't even know like what I watched, really. I mean, Caleb Williams got the win, so congrats to him getting his first NFL win. But Swift did like nothing, which was really a shocker. I thought he was going to have a pretty good year this year. And he's playing against Houston. Houston held on the road, Jonathan Taylor to 48 yards on the ground.
Wow.
And if Jonathan Taylor isn't getting more than 50 yards, I don't think DeAndre Swift is. So I think you sit DeAndre Swift until the Bears can show promising upside in that offense until they get it together and clicking. I don't like him this week.
All right. First guy I want to talk about, not a running back. It's a wide receiver, and it's Jaden Reed.
Yep.
Yes, I know he had four catches for 138 yards last week and a touchdown. He also had a rushing touchdown for 33 yards. But I want you to take in that information. That's five touches, 160 or 171 yards and two touchdowns on five touches. I don't think that's replicable week to week. I also don't think it's replicable. I just checked. It's Malik Willis starting at quarterback for the Packers this week. Doesn't have the greatest history supporting fantasy wide receivers. Not the best at throwing the ball down the field and stretching the field. So, I mean, not just Jaden Reed. Packers wide receivers in general, if you've got him, I wouldn't start him this week. I'd really only be starting Josh Jacobs from that offense.
Yeah.
Until we see how it sorts out.
My first must-sit this week is a running back out of Tampa Bay, and that's Rashad White. He has a tough matchup this week against Detroit, who are top five this year against the run. And I think inefficiency is really the key with Rashad White, because last year he was extremely inefficient. The last week he was extremely inefficient, 15 attempts for 31 yards for just little over 2 yards a carry. What got him to 16 points, though, was his six receptions for 75 yards, which, again, is awesome. But I don't see that happening again against Detroit, who defensively looks much better than what they used to be, especially you know, in all facets, really. So I think if you're going to sit Rashad White, this is the week, just because of inefficiency. And look out for Bucky Irving if we're doing waivers.
Oh, Bucky Irving guy.
Yep.
My second must-sit for this week is a tight end for the Dallas Cowboys, Jake Ferguson.
He got
banged up. He has an MCL sprain.
Please sit her players.
So definitely sit him, because he's still projected points. Like, apparently he's like not really like out, say, which like, is
definitely
crazy.
Sit him. He's not playing. I can almost guarantee he won't play this week.
I will. He definitely won't play. But it's more of like, if he does play, do not start him. Even when he was healthy last week for the majority of that Browns game, they just didn't give him the ball, which is unfortunate, because I thought he had a decent chance of averaging like 8 to 10 points a week in fantasy, and that's pretty much down the drain already.
Yeah. All right, my second must-sit, I want you guys to hear me out. It's Nico Collins.
Interesting.
I was thinking about saying Stephon Diggs.
So, Chicago, a lot of man coverage from what I saw in their game this previous week. Man coverage means that Jalen Johnson is matched up one-on-one on Nico Collins. Yeah. I love Nico Collins as a receiver, but we don't talk about the Jalen Johnson island enough. It's not a fun place to be. Probably one of the worst prisons on earth, the Jalen Johnson island out in Chicago.
Is it more scary than Revis Island?
Ooh.
It's not Revis Island, but it's It's a great it's not a fun place to be.
You don't think Johnson's gonna be up on Diggs? So, I feel like he's gonna be with Diggs.
He's definitely gonna be on Nico. Which is why I actually would look at Diggs and Tank Dell this week if you have them. If they're gonna throw the ball, I don't think
Tank Dell.
If they're gonna throw the ball, I'm guessing it'll be to the opposite side of the field that Jalen Johnson's on. So yeah. Avoid Nico Collins. I'd boost those other two guys and definitely boost that run game as well.
Yeah, that Chicago secondary is underrated for sure.
Nothing on Nico Collins. He's great.
My must sit this week kind of hurts because he was one of our biggest busts of week one, and matchup-wise, I'm not really liking it this week either, and that is Christopher Olave of the New Orleans Saints, wide receiver. It just sucks because he hasn't had that real big boom game just yet. And last week, 2 receptions on 2 targets for 11 yards in a game where the Saints mollywopped the Panthers and scored a lot of points. And Derek Carr had an amazing game. This is just not a recipe for success.
Even Foster Moreau was balling
last week. Yeah, Rashid Shaheed.
Juwan Johnson.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but Chris Olave got completely left out. And if Trayvon Diggs is on him, I'm not really liking that matchup very much. Trayvon Diggs does tend to stay on one side of the field, though. So they have a rookie corner on the other side, something Carson. So, I mean, if he's matched up on him, that's a lot better. But if he's on Trayvon Diggs, I don't see much going for Chris Olave this week. So that is why I would sit him.
Or even Jamal Williams got into the end zone in that game. Yeah, but Jamal Chris Williams. Olave couldn't get in.
Only 2 catches, too, which is crazy.
They need Michael Thomas back.
Badly.
They need a real wide receiver one.
They need anything right now.
Slant Boy.
They need money.
Slant Boy is actually Rashee Rice now. I've given his name.
It is.
Away.
I saw that.
He ran like 10 or 15 slants on Thursday night.
It worked too. But
it did work.
I believe that's all we have for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in to WVUA 90.7 FM Tuscaloosa Student Section Fantasy Sports. We'll see you all next week. Peace.